Okay, my gardening friends, it is quickly approaching the time of year when we should start planning our gardens. Now, I know it feels like we just got finished with the gardening season, but the earlier we get started for next year, the better. To get you ready, I've laid out the first 10 steps that I take every time I start a new garden bed and at the beginning of every season before I even start to make my plan. Download my free guide by going to justgrowsomethingpodcast.com/basics to get 10 steps that walk you through things like determining your site and doing a soil test, amendments, crop rotation, and more. That's justgrowsomethingpodcast.com/basics for 10 steps toward planning your best garden ever.
This is Positively Farming Media.
Hello, my gardening friends, and welcome back to the Just Grow Something podcast. Throughout the month of December, we're doing something a little bit different around here. I'm treating you to several episodes of some other podcasts where I was invited to be a guest. These will be some honest conversations about different topics related to farming and gardening with other podcasters within the Positively Farming Media podcast group on their shows. Last week, you heard my interview with Ashley Constance of A Little Self-Reliant podcast, all about compost. This week, we change it up a little bit. We're going to hear an episode of the We Drink and We Farm Things podcast, affectionately known as Drink and Farm. This podcast is hosted by Bev Ross and Sam Bolton. Sam is on hiatus, and Bev invited me and a few others onto the show to talk about some farming firsts. You'll recognize Ashley Constance in this episode, along with our friend Erica Linacek from the Rural Mindset podcast. These are some great stories, and I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Of course, I will link to the Drink and Farm podcast in the show notes so you can find more of Bev and Sam when you're through here. Let's dig in. Hey, I'm Karen. I started gardening years ago in a small corner of my suburban backyard, then moved to a 5-acre lot outside city limits and expanded that garden to half an acre. What started as a way to provide for my family turned into a love for digging in the dirt and providing for others. Slowly, my husband and I built our small homestead into a 40-acre market farm through lots of trial and error and successes and failures. Eventually, I went back to school to get my degree in horticulture, and along the way, I discovered there is power in food. So I want to share everything I've learned with as many people as possible. This podcast is all about helping you become a better gardener and a better eater. Whether you're a seasoned gardener or have never grown a thing in your life, I want to give you the knowledge you need to get the biggest and best harvest you can. So settle in, grab that garden journal, and get ready to just grow something.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to We Drink and We Farm Things.
This is the farm comedy podcast that is an adult happy hour for the farming community.
We drink adult beverages, talk about the ups and downs of farming things, and give zero clucks about not having the perfect farm life.
We keep it real with you and share the mistakes we've made and what we've learned so you can feel less alone in this farm thing.
We drink things, we farm things, we drink and farm things.
Oh, hey there. Welcome to We Drink and We Farm Things. I'm Bev, one of the co-hosts of this wonderful podcast. My co-host, Sam, is still taking a much needed and much deserved break. So you just have me today. Well, actually, you don't just have me today. We have a really special episode in store for you, and I'll tell you all about that in a second. But first, I wanted to tell you that our drink peeps this episode are our friends Natalie Quist and Katie Montgomery. So I wanted to be sure and tell them, cheers, ladies. All right, now let me tell you what we're going to be doing today. Today, I asked three of my podcasting friends to join me and tell me about their farming firsts. So let me tell you who we've got today. First, we're going to hear from Ashley, and she is from A Little Self-Reliant. And Ashley is a first-generation homesteader. She's in Alberta, Canada. And with her husband, she gardens and raises chickens, goats, rabbits, and bees, and she preserves as much food as she can on 3 acres. Ashley's goal is to inspire others to do what they can where they're at, and she does that through her podcast, A Little Self-Reliant. Next, we're going to hear from Karen, and Karen is the host of Just Grow Something. She is a market farmer that is on a mission to teach people how to grow their own food, no matter where they garden. She grows fruits and vegetables and raises pork and eggs with her husband on 40 acres in West Central Missouri. And like I said, she is the host of Just Grow Something podcast. And we'll also hear from Erica from the Rural Mindset podcast. Now, Erica is a personal development and proactive mental wellness specialist, helping you to reclaim your life, conquer your goals, and find peace in the process. She received her bachelor's of science in neuroscience, psychology, and kinesiology. She also has a bachelor's of education with great distinction in science education and community health. She's also a certified personal trainer, so she basically does a lot of stuff, as well as a certified mindfulness instructor, mental health and psychological first aider, and she is a certified sexual health teacher. And Erica is the host of the Rural Mindset podcast. So on this special episode, I asked each of our guests a fun farming first question, and they really just went above and beyond answering and sharing their experience and their stories, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy them. So let's get to it. Oh, hey there, Ashley, with A Little Self-Reliant podcast.
Oh, hey there, Bev. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. What about yourself?
I'm doing really great.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Well, thank you so much for joining me for this Farming Firsts episode. And I have a question that I would like to ask you for this one. I would like to know, what inspired you to start your farm and start your homesteading journey that you are on?
Okay, well, that is quite a question, but I can actually bring it back to this one specific event in the winter / spring of 2016. And I live in Canada. I live in Alberta, Canada, where it is extremely cold and we have very long, very dark, depressing winters. And in the fall of 2015, I had actually lost my dad. So my dad had passed away, and that was obviously a very like traumatic and difficult thing to go through. And by the time I had made it through that winter, I was still in a pretty dark space, pretty depressed, having a really hard time kind of finding purpose in my days and all that kind of stuff. So I went where I usually go when I'm sad, which is our local bookstore. And it's called Indigo here in Canada, but I think it's kind of similar to like Barnes and Noble in the States. And they have those little like impulse areas where they sell just like random little kitschy home things. And I saw a microgreen kit. And I was like, that's really interesting because it's the middle of March and I'm depressed and it's dark out. And you're telling me I can grow something on my windowsill? Like, that's really cool. And at this point, I had never grown anything in my life. So I brought home that little microgreen kit and planted them and spritzed it with water and put it in front of the window. And as soon as those little shoots started to come out of the soil, I was absolutely hooked. And it was just like a snowball from there.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. So microgreens was the start of your growing.
It all started with microgreens. Yes.
That's a really great place to start, actually, because it's like one of those instant sort of gratification kinds of things, which we're normally kind of programmed to not go for. But when you're in a place where you're processing grief and, you know, you're trying to get yourself to the next, like what the next new normal is going to be, that's exactly what you need to get like that dopamine boost and feel like, all right, now I can do this. Now I can do something else. So you started with microgreens. Did you do anything else inside?
Oh, yes. So that weekend, this happened on a Friday after work. And I remember my husband was away that weekend. So I was left unattended with my hyperfixation. And so I planted the microgreens. I like sprayed them down and then I just like stared at them and I was like, okay, obviously nothing's going to happen tonight. So like, what else can I do? And so I just like tossed myself in full bore. Like I was looking at podcasts and blogs and I had never considered growing a food garden before. I had always loved the idea. I had loved walking through the garden center in the spring, but I had always thought, oh, that's not for me. I have a black thumb or whatever. But I was just so excited about the prospect of growing these microgreens that I started researching, okay, what would it look like to have like a little garden? And at the time we were living in a little townhouse in the city, we had very little space to grow. We had no garden to speak of. We didn't even have grass in the yard yet. Like it was a brand new build. But by the time my poor sweet husband came home the next morning, I was like, okay, here's a plan. Like we're going to do this, this, this. You're going to build me garden boxes. We're going to grow this, this, this. And one day we're going to have chickens. And he was just like, oh my God, woman, like settle down. But yeah, from there I started a little Instagram page called Townhouse Homestead. And for, I think it was 4 years or maybe it was 3 years, 3 or 4 years, we grew as much food as we possibly could in that little area. We started preserving, we started shopping at the farmer's market. We started getting our eggs from somebody nearby. And that eventually led to us moving out to this little 3-acre homestead that we live on now.
That's so amazing. It's a good reminder to everyone that you can start literally wherever you are with what you have, absolutely, which is, you know, basically everything that you talk about on your podcast.
Yes, absolutely. That is my passion, is really opening people's minds to what they can do instead of being in that place where they're like, oh, it would be so cool to have a homestead, but I can't because I'm in the city or I'm in an apartment or my town doesn't allow chickens or whatever it is, right? There is always something, usually multiple things that people can do if they get a little bit creative.
Oh, I love it so much. So where can listeners find you on the social medias and where can they listen to your podcast?
My podcast should be available pretty much on any platform. It's called A Little Self-Reliant. And I hang out mostly on Instagram. I have 2 different accounts. My first one is called Dirty Paws Homestead. And that's where I share most of my just like day-to-day homesteading stuff. And then I share more practical tips and podcast and blog related stuff at A Little Self-Reliant on Instagram.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for joining me. I so appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, hey there, Karen from Just Grow Something podcast.
Hey, Beth. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. What about you?
I am doing fantastic as well. It is hot and there's a lot of harvesting going on in the gardens, but that is why we do this, right? That's a good thing for sure.
Yep, it is. It is definitely a good thing. So today we're talking about farming firsts, and I had a question to ask you, Karen. And I would like to know, what was your first farm sale and how did it make you feel?
I had a very unusual first farm sale because...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When we started our farm, it was just for us. It was our little homestead, you know, and had all of our menagerie of animals that we had been building up and the gardens and everything else. And I thought, you know, okay, well, maybe I can make some money from this and let's just make this, you know, this garden into something more. And I came up, you know, after researching with the concept of a community-supported agriculture program. And so we said, okay, we're going to do a CSA. Had not sold a single thing off the farm prior to that.
Oh my gosh.
Literally had just been gardening for ourselves. And my brilliant brain said, oh, well, we've done so well doing this for ourselves. Why not sell it to somebody? But not sell, I mean, had never gone to a farmer's market to sell nothing. So I had to find a way to market and sell this new CSA concept that, you know, that we were trying out, and we had decided we were going to do 15 shares. And so I found an online site called Local Harvest. It's localharvest.org. It's still around. And you can use that to go and find people local to you that are selling different things. And I listed our CSA shares on Local Harvest. and thought, okay, you know, let's see how this goes. Because, you know, we're in West Central Missouri, and this was back in 2007 when I had decided to do this, and we would be, you know, selling them for the 2008 season. And the idea was, okay, you're going to pay for something in the fall, and you're not getting anything out of it until I start harvesting out of the gardens in the spring. Nobody out here was doing that. That was an East Coast, West Coast thing. The Midwest had no idea what a CSA was. So not only did I have to find a way to sell that, I had to explain it too. Like, this is what we're doing. Yes, I'm taking all your money now. No, you don't know me from Adam, but trust me, I'm going to give you something out of it, you know? So we listed those shares and just sort of waited to see what happened. And I described it really well as to what it was going to be and what I thought you might get. And the first email that I got that came from Local Harvest that said, you know, so-and-so has purchased this item out of your store. I couldn't believe it. I was floored. Like, I knew it was a good idea, and I knew that I could garden, and I knew I could do all this stuff. But somebody else actually thought that I could do it too. And it was somebody I didn't know that just happened to find me online, you know? And so the feeling was just like, it was amazement. It was shock. It was reality also of, oh, now I got to do something with this.
Yep.
Because we sold all 15 of those shares within the first, I think, month of it being listed out there. We were sold out. And so that was, I think I listed them in maybe October of 2007, and they weren't going to get anything until May of 2008, and all 15 of them got sold. So that was my very first farm sale, was a concept, and that was it, you know. And they actually didn't get the product until 6 months later, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, that is so amazing. So you went straight from nothing to a commitment of a specific amount of produce and variety on a schedule.
I do not recommend that to anybody. I would never tell anybody to do that way. But yeah, that's what we did. I thought, okay, well, and my thought was, well, they're sharing in the risk and the reward of this, you know, farming venture. And, you know, that's why I only committed to 15 of them.
Oh yeah.
And didn't tell them exactly what they were going to be getting. It was going to get, well, you'll get this number of things every week based on what we're harvesting at the time. So it was vague enough where I was comfortable in going, all right, I can grow enough variety to be able to fill them with something and not have it all be just a giant box of arugula, and that's what they get for 3 weeks. You know?
That's what they would have gotten from me.
So yeah, it was a little daring. It's not something that we recommend doing to anybody, but we got lucky and it worked. So yeah.
Well, do you feel like though that because you started out, you know, big like that, that it may have inspired you to show up that way? You know, people were relying on you and you had already taken their money and you had a guaranteed, you know, customer base. So do you feel like maybe going big like that for your very first thing helps like catapult you to what you're doing now?
You know, I think so. I think absolutely. I think I work that way. You know, in anything, there has to be some sort of a goal that I'm working towards that is very specific, so that I have to follow this step and this step and this step to get there. So by making the commitment and saying, I now owe these people, you know, they put their money and their trust in me to provide for them. I have no choice but to get out there in the gardens and make sure that they're weeded and make sure that everything is being trellised and harvested and everything else. Because the idea was we were going to grow specifically for CSA. And then if there was extra, then we would go ahead and sell it at the farmers markets. So we had decided that our pickup point was going to be these different farmers markets in our area. Again, never having sold at a farmers market before. Hello. Said, yeah, if we have extra, we'll go ahead and sell it. And that very quickly also changed, because the moment that you got, you know, I got there that first day to, you know, have our people come and pick up their boxes. And then we were also selling our extra, that we were sold out so quickly. Like it was, I mean, it was like a plague of locusts came through and just cleared that table off. And we spent the other 4 hours of the market sort of just waiting for people to come and pick up their stuff with an empty table. And I thought, oh, well, this isn't going to work. You know, we definitely have to step up our production. And now, because now people see us and we're going to be here every single week, we can't sit here with an empty table every single week. I have to do something about this. So that spurred even more planting and more, you know, commitment, whether it was a commitment to myself or a commitment to somebody else to say, okay, yeah, you have no choice. Because if I didn't have that and it had been raining or just horrible weather, I would have probably just sat inside and watched the rain and said, okay, yeah, I'm not going out there today. I don't have to, but I had to. So yeah, I think that's a very good point.
Oh my gosh, I love it. That's exactly how my brain works as well. I find that if I don't commit myself fully to what it is that I want to do and have another person relying on me, then it's easier to just procrastinate or put it off.
Yeah, the excuses come a little bit easier if you don't have that, you know, commitment to do something.
For sure. And I'm hoping that listeners out there will hear that. And instead of maybe tiptoeing into whatever it is that they're thinking of doing, they just like belly flop right in there.
I've had many a belly flop moment. Okay. I think the go big or go home thing is part of my DNA. I don't know. And it doesn't always work. I will absolutely be the first one to say it doesn't always work. And sometimes it is really, really messy. And it, you know, but that's okay. The messy is good. Messy is totally good. And you learn from the messy and you get through it and you try again next time, or you decide it's not for you. Yeah, that's the other thing too. I mean, you can just decide, yeah, this was a great idea and concept. However, you know, execution, little lacking, not going to go with this, you know, and you change your mind and that's okay too.
Oh my gosh, for sure. So where can listeners go listen to your podcast, Just Grow Something Podcast?
Thank you for that. It is, yes, justgrowsomethingpodcast.com. You can find all of the episodes and all of the show notes and the articles and stuff that I write out there. But Just Grow Something Podcast is also on any podcast player that you listen to. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. Well, thank you, Karen. I really appreciate you answering this farming first question.
This was fun. I was glad to be here.
Oh, hey there, Erica from the Rural Mindset Podcast.
Oh, hey, Bev from Drink and Farm.
Thanks so much for joining me today on this special Farming First episode. And today we're going to talk to you about your first farming fail and victory. Because we got to end it on a high note, right?
Absolutely.
So, what would you say was the first thing that stood out in your mind as like, oh my God, what am I doing? I clearly did the wrong thing. This is a fail.
Well, there's many of those. I did not grow up on a farm. We were just talking about that. But I, quote unquote, married into this farming operation. And I just am very much the type of female who's like, I can do anything. Like I can do it. I got this. You don't need to help me. And my boyfriend, spouse, whatever he is now, and his family are very much like, no, like we'll help you. And like, there's a lot to this. And I'm like, nah, I got this. Like I don't need help. So I actually started with a victory to start my first fail.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't drive tractors, obviously, very often, as I don't have a need to, as somebody who didn't grow up on a farm. So we moved out to our farm site where we are now. So Lucas and I were living in town, and his grandma moved out of the house that we are now in. So we're on like one of the more original homestead pieces, and we were going to bring horses out here, specifically my horse, who is, I can see out the window, who just sold. And we were getting everything ready, and we wanted to, this piece of pasture that they're in hadn't really been touched in a long time by anything. And so the grass was pretty high. Horses are very sensitive, right, to the different sugar content in grass and stuff. So we wanted to mow it down a little bit and not founder horses. And I was like, okay, I got this. Like, and Lucas is like, do you want to mow with the big tractor? And I was like, yeah, I can. Absolutely. So I'm mowing away and I'm sitting there and it's a 1980 something open air 180 tractor. So it's like, it's a little old and it's been used and abused and it doesn't have brakes.
Oh,
did I get told that this doesn't have brakes? No. Did I get shown how to like shift and where the different things are? Also, no. And so Lucas was on the side of this open air tractor and he sets me up and he's like, all you need to do is just go around and mow. You're fine. You shouldn't need to stop. And then when I get back, you should be done. And I'm just going to run and do something quick while you're mowing. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, how hard can this possibly be? He left me on low multi-power. And I didn't know that because you can't really see what low multi-power is. And like, I've driven tractors before. I worked for the town of Crossfield. So we drove like littler tractors to do different jobs and stuff like that and mow and whatever. So I kind of knew like what the symbols meant, you know, bunny, full bunny mode, full turtle mode, yep. Stuff like that. But this one doesn't have bunnies and turtles also.
Oh no.
And he left me on low multi-power, which speeds up when you're going downhill. Remember, I don't have brakes.
Yep.
So we are on basically in a big valley. And so I'm sitting there and I'm just like putzing away, just mowing, listening to some music, enjoying myself, having like a beverage in a Contigo cup. Like it was a good time until the tractor starts speeding up. And then I full-fledged go through the fence into the garden and I panicked and I ripped out. It wasn't too bad, but I ripped out like quite a few fence posts. And, you know, ripped out the fence. So then we had to, and then Lucas comes back and he's like, well, what did you do? And he's like, oh, I accidentally left you on low multi-power, which doesn't have high multi-power, slows you down going downhill like cruise control. Low multi-power yeah. does not. And he's like, oh, I left you on low multi-power. So I went through the fence. So then, me being me, I'm like, no, like I can handle driving this tractor. Like I'm going to redeem myself. So I finished mowing and then like the next, I think it was a couple days later, we are pounding posts because Lucas took out our driveway gate posts with the trailer. This is, yeah, so we're great drivers around here. So he took that out and he's like, okay, you want to redeem yourself, hop on the tractor and pull it forward a little bit. And I'm like, okay, sounds great. Can't see the stickers, right? There's no thing that says that you're going forwards or back. Yeah. So then I get on it and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go forward and I go flying backwards, jackknife the post pounder and almost run over Lucas. And he's yelling at me. He's like, just go to the house. You and this tractor do not get along. And I was like, I don't think we do.
Oh my god.
He's like, why would you put it in reverse? And why would you put it on so fast? I'm like, first of all, there is no bunny and no turtle. How is one supposed to know? Second of all, there is no gear shifting, like all the things are rubbed off. So I couldn't tell.
Oh my god.
So that's my probably that tractor, and I haven't drove it since. Honestly, I'm a little bit scared.
That's fair.
I'm considering redeeming myself if we get some sun this week, and I know that I will make sure that I am set up for success because I can drive. It's not, I don't think it's a me problem. I think it's that the tractor is set up very unfairly.
Yeah, it totally sounds like it. You know, what you could do is you can go get a sticker sheet, like a hilarious sticker sheet with like a bunny and a turtle and then like the R and like the gear numbers, like low, you know, high, all that stuff. And then just stick them on there and throw some like clear coat on it. And then you got stickers for a while.
With a cricket yeah. or something.
Because that's totally not fair. I was going to tell you, on my tractor, you actually hit a different pedal to go backwards.
Oh.
So it's not the same pedal. Yeah.
That's handy.
Yeah, it was super handy. Yeah.
That's nice. I'm jealous of that a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, I'm not allowed to drive the big tractors either because now that this is how it goes, I'm like, maybe we should get a new tractor for me. But, you know, those cost a few hundred thousand dollars.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, just go and buy a new tractor. No big deal.
I'll just head over to our local dealer and grab one.
Well, I think we've all been there, like not knowing how to use a piece of machinery and just having to go on it. And I think that when you are in a situation where there's just like no instructions, like what else is going to happen?
Right? Both times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We laugh at it now, and I'm like, I'm sorry I bent the hitch of the post pounder. It's fine. It works still, but, you know, there's little bends. There's dents and bends and broken things everywhere on farms, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's just the – yeah. You buying new farm equipment doesn't matter because it always gets dented or something happens. For me, it's the cow. The cow likes to go scrape himself on it, and then he hits it with a horn, and then he dents something. And I'm just like, yep, I'm new anymore.
Can I throw an additional story in about denting things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I'd love to hear it.
So I have a 2019 Chevy Silverado. I love it. It was my, like, first big purchase at a university. I was super jazzed. I had it for about – so I bought it in September, and it was, like, April of 2020. And Lucas's dad was in the side-by-side, and he brought a bunch of oil because he had just changed the oil in the tractor. So he brings it down, and I have my truck parked in front of the garage, like, sideways. And he parks the side-by-side in front of it sideways the other way. So they're kind of nose-to-nose. And, you know, your average side-by-sides, you just leave in drive when to idle, right? PSA people, don't do that if you have a dog. My dog jumps in the side-by-side, sits on the gas pedal, and drives and crashes right into my 8-month-old truck.
Oh, my gosh.
And... He had the cattle dog in beside on the seat, and she was just sitting in there, and she peed everywhere, and they were whimpering, and it was this whole thing. And so anyways, the running joke is my dog, like if you leave him in a truck or like take him anywhere, he always jumps in the and like sits in the driver's side. And like every time I'm like, Archer, you can't drive. You're terrible at it. You're not allowed. So there's a dent in my truck and people will be like, oh, what did you do? And I'm like, my dog drove the side-by-side into it. And they're like, what? And I'm like,
yeah,
no, you heard me right. You did. And so sometimes though, if I don't really know people, I just tell them it was a casual hit and run style situation. So I'm not like lying, but I'm not particularly telling the truth either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a little hard to explain. Like my dog drove in to it with the side-by-side for sure.
And it was like he hit it and he did run away. So
fair.
A hit and run style. Yeah, that's what I say. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Well, tell us about your first farm victory, because with our fails, like lots of victories come also. And I think that when we're not from a farm, especially when we have a farm victory, like it just feels extra satisfying because typically we had to dent brand new trucks and jackknife tractors to get there, right?
I'm glad I can laugh now. So, you know, I am a goof, basically, is how I would put this. And my very first farm victory, I wasn't even living here yet. And it was, I think it was just after exams or there was like a break or something like that in university. And I came up to hang out with Lucas. So think of this as I'm like really not the girlfriend yet. Like I'm the girlfriend, but not, you know, we're not living together. I'm not on the farm. I'm not helping out. And he takes me tagging, which to this very day is a thing that I despise doing. Like it's fun and everything, but I don't really like trying to fight cows.
No, so, they're big.
Yeah, right? So he takes me tagging and he's like, okay, like you're just going to stay in the back of the side by side and it'll be fine and whatever. And I'm like, okay. And so him and his sister go, and his dad was hurt at that point. He had a concussion from getting bucked off of a horse. And so it was kind of like us kids doing a lot of the stuff. So his sister and him go, and they are tagging. They get this calf, and they're tagging, and they kind of turn around, and they're like, they didn't even hear, like, the mama cow, like, moo or anything at her calf. And And they're kind of turning around and they're like, what is happening? Like, she's just, there's a bunch of cows there and they're just standing. And I'm sitting there in the back of the side by side. I didn't know what to do with the sticks because that's how new I am. And I'm just sitting there dancing and waving and they're like, distract the cows. And I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting there dancing and waving the sticks around like, I don't know, I'm supposed to be doing something with a baton. And all these cows are sitting there and they're looking at me and they're like, what is this person doing? But here's the thing. They looked at me like I had nine heads. Lucas and his sister basically fell over laughing because who does that? And apparently you're supposed to hit the cows with them. That at this point in time, didn't know. I was like, what is this for? Okay. And I was also a little scared of them. And so I'm sitting there and like I just started dancing and distracting the cows. Lo and behold, it freaking worked. It works so good. And they
is amazing.
They were like laughing so hard. They're like, I guess you did your job unconventionally. But yeah, that was probably my first, like, it sounds really goofy, but I call that a success because I think a lot of the times people want us to be successful in a conventional way. And that to me just shows that there's many ways to be successful on a farm. Yep. Got the job done. It didn't have to be done. I didn't get out of the side-by-side, and I distracted the cows. So win-win.
That works perfectly. Oh, my gosh. Well, and more on that, too. Like, people like to see you have victories in a conventional way because it helps reinforce their conventional ideas, right? But when you can have a victory doing something like dancing on a farm with the sticks without hitting the cows, you're like, see, there are other ways to do this. We don't have to do things the same way just because that's the way it's always been done.
Yeah. I just went to what I do as a person and who I am as a person. And, you know,
yep.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that day it worked and I was like, I win.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your farm fail and amazing victory with us because that was so fantastic. Where can listeners find your podcast, the Rural Mindset Podcast, and find you on the social medias?
Okay, so you can find the Rural Mindset Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find me as the brand Erica wherever you are. I'm on every platform under the brand Erica.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this special episode with our guests, Ashley, Karen, and Erica. Just a reminder, there are links in the show notes to all of our guests' links on social media, where to find their podcast, as well as check out their website, follow them on Instagram, and all of the good things. So you can get to the show notes for this episode by going to drinkandfarm.com/210.
You just finished another episode of the Just Grow Something podcast. For more information about today's topic, head on over to justgrowsomethingpodcast.com for all the episodes, show notes, blog posts, discount codes, and more. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter while you're there. You can also head to Facebook and join a community of other gardeners asking questions and sharing their experiences in the Just Grow Something Gardening Friends Facebook group. And if you want to support this show even further, head to patreon.com/justgrowsomething to find out how. Until next time, my gardening friends, keep learning, keep growing, and we'll talk again soon.